Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. So how's this new CEO doing at Yahoo? Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is October 14th, 2013. And today and tomorrow, we have an internet article, and we're talking about Yahoo. Campbell, can you give me a Yahoo?
Yahoo!
Yeah, there you go. All right. That's Campbell Chong giving us his best impression of Yahoo's famous phrase, their ID, Yahoo! Yeah. So, all right. Well, at the top of the program, I asked the question, so how's this new CEO doing at Yahoo? Well, it's kind of funny. That question became synonymous with Yahoo over the last 5 or 6 years. It became kind of a joke because it was a question they could ask every year. So how's this new CEO doing?
Right.
They had changed CEOs 5 times in 5 years prior to naming Google's Marissa Mayer their CEO. Oh, a little bit over a year ago. So we're going to check back and see how things are going at this. It's still a very strong internet company, but at one time was the leader, has slipped a little bit, but she's going to try and bring them back to prominence online. Well, in the studio, I've got my two panelists. I'll get back to Campbell here in a moment. First, let's meet Joanna Wirtz. Hi, Joanna.
Hello.
Great to have you here. Now, do you, Yahoo?
Do I sing that way? No, Bill, I don't.
Joanna does not sing. Come on. At least not in public.
One time.
Only to me.
No.
Later.
No. That's not going to happen on the radio. Sorry, listeners.
Okay. What do you know about Yahoo?
Well, it's a search engine. Yeah. You can have an account with it. You can use it for mail, photos. It's quite developed, but you're right. It has slipped over the past few years. It's not as strong as it used to be.
Mm-hmm. I feel like here in Asia, people use it more than maybe in the States.
I think you may be right. Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's Campbell Chong, if you didn't know that. And Campbell knows a good bit about Yahoo.
I used to use Yahoo email. Now I've switched. But I do, here in Asia, enjoy their Chinese dictionary. I use the Yahoo Chinese dictionary quite often.
Okay. Well, so there's some specific functions and features that do appeal to people. I have not been using Yahoo a lot, but very interesting. When I went back and visited my family back in America, oddly, my parents' computer, their main page was Yahoo.
Hmm.
And so for about 4 weeks, I was going on their computer and I kind of got into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, wow, this is like pretty good. You know, I enjoyed it. I liked it. So it was, they were using that as their main page and their search engine and everything, and I was satisfied with it. So, and I had not been using Yahoo in many, many years. So maybe they've made some changes, some improvements.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I think it's definitely good to come back to it and just to take a look at it and see the things that they have changed.
Yeah. All right. Which search engine do you use most of the time?
I use Google. Most of the time, yes. But when I Google things, like if I need a suggestion for something, I will often get results from Yahoo Answers. So even though I use Google, I get a result page from Yahoo, and I click onto that. I love Yahoo Answers.
Okay.
It's very helpful.
Well, as I mentioned a few moments ago, Yahoo had some very difficult times here within the last 7 years, even going back further. And they were really kind of lost. They were struggling to find out, okay, who are we? Because as we see in the world, in the cyber world, you can be hot for a couple of years, think MySpace, and then become irrelevant quite quickly, think Facebook, coming along and knocking MySpace out into space.
Mm-hmm.
Yahoo was the leader, and then they got knocked off their perch by Google and some other sites. So they're lucky in a way. They have survived in spite of their confusion in the executive office. And so what they did is about a year ago, a little bit over a year ago, they went and they got Marissa Mayer from Google, who had some big responsibilities at Google, had been doing a great job there, and she's an insane workaholic. We did an article about her right at the beginning of 2013, or maybe at the end of 2012, here in Advanced, on Marissa Mayer, and her work week is just insane. She's been known for 120-hour work weeks.
Oh, my goodness.
And she had a baby right before she was stepped into the role at Yahoo, and she actually had a nursery built off of her office at Yahoo so the baby could be there during the day, and she could get up from her desk and walk over and see the baby during the day. And so,
well, the perks of being the CEO.
Yeah, most people can't do that. So, but she had the baby and she went back to work 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not one for taking much time off.
Right.
So she is, and she also is known, if our listeners might remember, for ending Yahoo's telecommuting policy. People were working at home. Approximately 20% of Yahoo's workers in the Silicon Valley were working at home and telecommuting, and about 6 months ago, she just stepped up and said, no more. And it created quite a controversy, not only at Yahoo, but throughout the tech firms, because this has become kind of a thing where a lot of people like to do that work at home,
mm-hmm.
and they were like afraid, uh-oh, this might come to an end.
Right.
So that's it, and actually it's turned out okay. You know, there's not a revolt. The employees did not burn the building down.
Right.
And so it's actually turned out okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I think it's interesting when you become the CEO, you're the head of a major company like this, and you make such major decisions. It's a risk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as a CEO, you need to know and be able to make those decisions.
Yeah. Well, she's not shy about it, and she's not shy about purchasing other companies and doing some other things to try and get Yahoo back on top. So we're going to learn more about that today and tomorrow. So we will take today's reading and break it down into three separate sections. So turn to page 24, and we will have our first reading right now.
Exposing Yahoo's strategy. CEO Marissa Mayer has a plan to turn the internet giant around. There are three levels to Marcus Spiering's love of Volkswagens. The first is in his garage. He owns a 1977 VW Campmobile and a 1972 VW Karmann Ghia sports coupe. The second is on his hard drive. He loves taking photos of other VWs. Fitting, given that he's the head of product for Flickr, Yahoo's now resurgent photo service. The third appears in the app that his team released last year. Within Spiering's obsession and devotion lie the seeds of Yahoo's turnaround strategy. CEO Marissa Mayer has been deliberately vague in her pronouncements about the company, opting for opaque mission statements. After spending time with the team behind the revitalized Flickr, one gets the sense that the future of Yahoo is hiding in plain sight.
Thank you, Joanna, for reading our article.
No problem.
All right. Exposing Yahoo's strategy. And what does the deck say, Campbell?
The deck says CEO Marissa Mayer has a plan to turn the internet giant around. So here we see a phrase, turn something around. That means that she wants to improve it. She wants to make things better.
All right. We start this reading off with kind of an interesting narrative.
Well, we're talking about a man's love of VWs. Very interesting.
Okay. And he says here, at least the reading says, there are three levels to Marcus Spiering's love of Volkswagens. And what is the first one?
Well, the first is that he owns two. Sounds like they're classics.
Okay. All right. The 1977 VW Campmobile is actually, I believe that's going to be a van.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to be that VW van. And actually, the 1972 VW Karmann Ghia is actually a two-seater. It's a sports car. It was a tiny little car, real low to the ground. And both of these vehicles back in the 60s and 70s, the Volkswagens were just known for their uniqueness, their mm-hmm. look, right?
Yeah. So this was about your teenage years.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. I knew people that owned these cars.
Yeah.
And they were the strangest looking things, actually. They were really strange.
Yeah.
And the engines were strange. The engines just even sounded strange.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So you have to have a certain taste to really want to love these cars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the first thing. This guy owns the two of these. The second?
Well, the second is on his hard drive, so this means his computer. He loves taking photos of other VWs, Volkswagens, fitting given that he's the head of product for Flickr. Now, Flickr is Yahoo's photo service. And here we see a word, resurgent photo service. Resurgent means that it's coming back, it's becoming popular again.
Okay. I just want to back up there to that word right at the end of line 11, beginning of line 12, it's fitting. Mm. Why would we put fitting in there?
Well, I think fitting means that it fits. It's a good description. It's very apropos for this,
okay.
this situation or this person.
Very good. Apropos or appropriate. So, okay. Now, Flickr, you use Instagram?
I do use Instagram. I also use Flickr to find photos. Flickr mm-hmm. is just is a place where people can store photos online.
Okay. Now, and what's the third one, Joe?
Well, the third one is in the app that his team released just last year. So we see the three levels. He owns VWs. He takes photos of them and messes around with the photos. And it's in his job, too. It seems like it's okay. Pretty much all-consuming.
Well, he's actually very fortunate. He can actually incorporate something he loves into his work. And there is a benefit in that because then he can learn how to make this thing as good as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not detached from it. He right. actually is a user.
Right. It's something he's already passionate about, and now yeah. he can incorporate it into his job, into his work.
Yeah. And actually, we continue along that vein as we move on to the next paragraph.
Yes, it says, within Spearing's obsession and devotion lie the seeds of Yahoo's turnaround strategy. So within his love for Volkswagens, we see the seeds or the ideas for what they're going to be doing to turn Yahoo around, to make Yahoo better.
Yeah. You had mentioned passion previously and, of course, obsession. Just like that, he's really very passionate about this. And so within this, we can see it. And that requires us to do some interpretation. That's why this sentence is there. And we have to do interpretation of Marcus Spearing's interest. The reason we have to do it is found in the next sentence.
Well, we learned that CEO Marissa Mayer has been deliberately vague when she talks about the future of the company. She's using opaque mission statements.
Okay, deliberately vague.
Not very clear, not a clear statement. You could possibly interpret her statements in several different ways.
Right, and deliberately means that she's doing it on purpose. It's not an yeah. accident that she's using these very vague, unclear statements.
Why would she do that?
I think she's trying – it's a strategy. I think she probably is trying to protect their interests and keep their competition at bay.
Okay. All right. So she's doing this with her pronouncements or her statements. Often she'll have press conferences or she'll be on TV shows. She's asked about this by the commentators and she'll just kind of give this answer that they really can't have anything to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, then she'll make these statements about the company like this, opting for opaque mission statements.
A mission statement is something you say about your company or organization to communicate with the public and the audience what kind of organization you are and what your purpose is. And if she's choosing something opaque, it means not very clear, vague. That's another word for vague.
Mm-hmm.
So she's probably using lots of general terms that are positive sounding that will make people feel good about the company but aren't really declaring any obvious direction.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes might use opaque to describe like water or like glass or something we can't see through, we can't see clearly. What's the opposite of opaque?
Transparent. Transparent means that it's very open and you can see right through it.
Right. And so it's good for companies in most circumstances to have transparent communications.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't want to be opaque too often.
Right.
She has the luxury of being opaque because she's trying to protect their strategy for the future.
Right. When we say that someone is transparent, we mean that they're open, they're honest, and they're just very that everything's revealed. Right. Now, the opposite is opaque. So she's trying to hide something, not in a negative way, but I think to protect their interests.
Okay. All right. Now, the third sentence then helps us also try and figure out what's going on, because after spending time with the team behind the revitalized Flickr, one gets what, Joe?
Well, one gets the sense that maybe the future of Yahoo is hiding in plain sight, or rather, it might be right in front of us, not mm-hmm. hidden at all.
Okay, so maybe it's not such a secret. We can just see by some of the moves they're making what they're planning on doing.
Exactly.
Okay, let's have our second reading.
Those things you love. If Facebook's value is in cataloging everyone you know, and LinkedIn owns your relationships with all your colleagues, Mayer wants to create a profile of everything you love, which will result in more personalized content and more lucrative ads surrounding it. This ambitious gambit has been tried unsuccessfully many times before. But if Facebook's social graph is worth almost $70 billion, what would Yahoo be worth if it can build the interest graph?
We had an article talking about mapping the world, and we had identified why some companies are doing that because it's the future, maybe, of the internet. That's one of the futures, because in the past, Google first answered the question, what? Facebook answered the question, who? And mapping answers the question, where? And along those same lines, that's what this paragraph is talking about. It's segmenting down the different service providers on the internet.
Right. So it starts off by talking about Facebook. Facebook's value is in cataloging everyone you know. So when we say cataloging, we mean collecting it in one place, and you can search through and find different people, right? And then we mm-hmm. talked about LinkedIn. LinkedIn is another social networking website. It owns your relationships with all your colleagues. LinkedIn is used to connect people and work environments.
Okay, so those are two other firms that maybe not direct competitors with Yahoo, but also they are doing something very well. Yahoo wants to get to that level, and that's where we go with this rest of the sentence.
Well, it says that Mayer wants to create a profile of everything you love, which will result in a more personal Yahoo user experience.
Okay. All right. Not only more personalized content, but what?
More lucrative ads surrounding it. So this is one of the new trends. Well, not so much new, but it's a trend on the internet where they will look at the things that you search for, the things that you chat about, and then they will place ads on that same page that are linked with those topics.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is significant because one of the problems plaguing Yahoo is over the past 5 years, they have seen a fairly significant drop in their ad revenue, and actually a significant drop in the percentage of the ad revenue, online ad revenue that they were getting, which means other firms are getting more, they're getting less. Mm-hmm. So this is really key to their success, this ad revenue, and making it attractive for advertisers to go on Yahoo. All right. We call this a risk in the next paragraph, don't we, Joe?
Yes. It's an ambitious gambit. And gambit is a risk or something like maybe an attempt or a try to do something. Ambitious means you're aiming high. You're aiming for a high success.
Mm-hmm. Is it something new, Campbell?
No, it's something that's been done before, but it's been unsuccessful many times before. But we talk here about Facebook's social graph, and it says they're making a comparison. They say if Facebook's social graph is worth almost $70 billion, what would Yahoo be worth if it can build the interest graph?
Okay, now, a lot of different forms have been tried. That's what we're talking about. This has been tried unsuccessfully many times before. a lot of firms have tried this. Everybody's looking for the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's – you can't – you can have something and just barely miss.
Right.
And be a failure.
Right.
So, for instance, I would think of like Google Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Came really close.
Right.
And it's still there. However, it pales in comparison. It's not even close to Facebook.
No.
Yeah. And so that's an example of different things have been tried before and didn't work completely. So what she is doing, what Marissa Mayer is doing, this gambit, which also can mean gamble, is she has to do this to try and create a new area for Yahoo to succeed in. She has to try this. They can't continue just doing the same thing or else they will just ultimately fail.
Right.
They'll just keep falling behind, farther mm-hmm. and farther behind. Okay, let's have our last reading for today.
Flickr is for photos. Flickr's revamp sheds light on how Mayer and Yahoo plan to use their product strategy to chase this goal. At first glance, the photo service's mobile upgrade could be mistaken for an Instagram clone. But it is not about filters or sharing. Flickr stands for photos, says Spearing, and photos reveal what you love. The new iPhone app is designed to get users uploading their interests to Yahoo again, and to create an experience good enough that users will return to Flickr daily. After the new release, users uploaded 25% more photos to Flickr. Perhaps more important, they increased their interactions with those photos by the same amount.
All right. I'm going to have to rely on Campbell a lot here in this section because he is an avid Flickr user,
mm-hmm.
also very familiar with Instagram. So we're talking about the example of Flickr, which we started out with in the beginning of this day with Marcus Spearing hitting up that group, and they are undergoing a revamp. The revamp is when something is redone, changed, modified. They want to come up with a new and improved version. And so it sheds light on how Mayer and Yahoo plan to use their product strategy to chase this goal. Have you noticed changes?
On Flickr and Instagram?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that it's just user-friendly and just it's just more attractive.
All right. This is one way that Yahoo is chasing their goal. Now, at first glance,
we learn that this photo service's mobile upgrade, or the app, could be mistaken for an Instagram clone. Instagram has been very, very successful lately, and it makes sense that other companies might want to copy it.
Okay. All right. So Facebook bought Instagram, and looks like it at first glance, it looks like that Yahoo is copying what Facebook is doing, right?
At first glance, but maybe not really.
All right. So, but it's not about filters or sharing.
Right. So when we talk about Instagram, we're talking about an app that lets you upload photos straight from your cell phone onto the internet and sharing it with your friends through Facebook and other social media sites. And filters are just things that change the way your photos look. So what they're saying is that Flickr is not about changing the way your photos look and about making your photos look cool and different. It's something else.
All right. What does Marcus Spearing, the head of Flickr, say?
He says Flickr stands for photos, and photos reveal what you love.
Okay. I think so. I think so. I see plenty of photos of
food
and babies right. and activities that people
sure.
you know,
one
enjoy.
Might call that an opaque statement.
An opaque
well,
statement.
Photos reveal what you love. Well, I suppose they do.
Yeah,
I guess they do. So, all right, now this new iPhone app is designed to do what?
To get users uploading their interests to Yahoo again and to create an experience good enough that users will return to Flickr daily. Now, I haven't used this new iPhone app yet, but what I'm getting from this is just that it's not just about uploading photos, but perhaps there's a bit of cataloging too. You know, this is a photo about food, so it, you know, maybe they have the food catalog and different catalogs that help to create a list of different things and sections of different things that people are interested in.
Okay. Well, how has this gone, Joanna?
Well, it's done very well. They say after the new release, users uploaded 25% more photos to Flickr. That's a big jump.
Okay. 25% is a lot. And now, I wonder if it's going to be sustained. Mm. That's my only question with this. It's one thing to have a big jump when something is just introduced. How do you sustain this?
Right.
And also, you know, sustain this growth,
mm-hmm.
continued growth. So that is the key. It's great in the beginning, but what are we going to be reporting a year from now?
Right, right. And I think what the interesting thing is about the increase their interactions with these photos, you know, so it's not just putting the photos online, but they actually interact with the photos and do things with the photos.
All right. Well, that sounds great, but I'm just trying to sort this out as far as how is this different from Facebook? What is the attraction with all of this? So, Joanna, where does this fit in with your current online usage?
Well, I haven't used Flickr, but from what I'm reading here, they seem to have found a very small but important gap in all the other photo services. Mm-hmm. Facebook lets you upload photos and save them, and now with Instagram, you can make them look pretty. But there's not much means for cataloging and certainly no means for searching for other people's photos.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Obviously, people love photos of their interests or else Pinterest wouldn't be such a success.
Okay.
But Pinterest isn't really a photo storage service.
Okay.
So I think they've found a little hole there that if they can latch on, that might be really successful as it builds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great because, I mean, what I use Flickr for is it's a photo search. Like I search for photos that maybe other people have posted. Mm-hmm. And so I think this idea of cataloging your photos, I know a lot of times I put pictures on Facebook and then I want to go back and find them, but there's no way for me to find them without searching through all
right.
my albums, right?
Yeah.
So now with this new cataloging, perhaps it allows us to search for photos quicker.
I find the same thing. Sometimes I'll go to Facebook. I'm looking for somebody else's photo.
Mm.
I got to go scrolling through all of their photos, or then I don't find it there. Then I've got to go through all of their albums,
mm-hmm.
and I end up spending a good bit of time searching for a photo that maybe I could be able to find in a moment.
Right.
Using this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Very interesting to learn about what's going on with Yahoo. We continue in this tomorrow. So come on back. We'll see you then.